Welcome, everyone, and thanks for joining me on the Bullpen Report, part of the FTN Fantasy Baseball Podcast. It's Tuesday. Today is May 27th. I'm Dan Thompson at Red Fox Roto. Now, on Saturday's podcast, I ran through all 30 teams' bullpen situations. So today we'll be back to the normal format. We'll narrow our focus again to just those bullpens with the greatest fantasy implications since the weekend. And also we'll mention a few smaller news nuggets to help keep us all informed. So let's get started in Chicago and the Cubs bullpen. A week ago, Porter Hodge hit the injured list with an oblique strain. That night, Daniel Palencia received the first opportunity to lock down a Cubs win, but he failed to hold the lead. On the Tuesday podcast the morning after, I covered Palencia as someone who could receive additional save chances, but I did want to highlight some other possible options the Cubs had in case we saw multiple pitchers get shots in the ninth inning. That was not the case, however, as Palencia received not only the next save chance for the Cubs last Wednesday night, but also earned back-to-back saves the past two nights. So Palencia has seemed to cement himself as the closer in Chicago for the time being. He really has emerged as the best reliever on the roster so far this season. Daniel Palencia has a 1.93 ERA, 0.86 whip, and a nice-looking 19-7 strikeout-to-walk ratio in 18 and two-thirds innings. The 9.7% walk rate is still a little elevated, but it's great to see after small samples in 2023 and 24 yielded a walk rate of nearly 14%. Palencia is averaging about 99 miles per hour on the fastball. That's important for him because it is a pitch he throws almost 75% of the time. But now hold your nose. Here comes the cold water. I don't believe Daniel Palencia is a long-term answer for the Cubs. The surface results they've been great, but there's some warning signs lurking beneath. First, a 178 BABIP is completely unsustainable. The 82% strand rate is likely due for some regression, as well as the 5.9% homer to fly ball ratio. Palencia doesn't generate a lot of swings outside the zone either, and his overall contact rate around 78% and a swinging strike rate only about 10.5%. Those numbers are not at all impressive. They're definitely not indicative of a lockdown reliever. So enjoy this run while it lasts, but I believe the ride will eventually come to an end. News on Porter Hodge's oblique was trending positively over the weekend, with manager Craig Counsell saying Hodge was in a good spot. Yesterday, that evolved into Hodge not making progress. So while we don't know exactly when Porter Hodge may be able to return to the Cubs bullpen, he's likely to threaten Daniel Palencia in the ninth once he does. And I still believe the Cubs will seek a veteran presence in the ninth inning before the trade deadline in July. Maybe an arm like Kenley Jansen would make sense for them. Could be others. We'll see what happens in the market as we get closer. But for now, ride on, Daniel Palencia, ride on. But now we ride on to Pittsburgh, where the flip-flopping of David Bednar and Dennis Santana has reflipped or reflopped. Either way, it's Bednar back in the lead. I've covered this closely since Don Kelly took over as the Pirates manager. When that happened, Dennis Santana pitched the ninth inning in four consecutive appearances. In his four games since that run, Santana has thrown in the ninth only once, though he did get a save. But meanwhile, David Bednar has pitched in the ninth inning in his last three appearances, grabbing two saves in that time. So with the pendulum swinging back in Bednar's favor, he's obviously worth a spot in starting lineups again, But the way this job has bounced back and forth here in May, I'd be holding on to Dennis Santana until it's clear that one guy or the other has taken the reins. But advantage Bednar today. Back to Texas now. Another bullpen we've spent a lot of time on. It takes some reading of the tea leaves, but there's a potentially fascinating scenario unfolding for the Rangers. Right now, Chris Martin is on the injured list with a shoulder issue. But if anyone thought that gave closer Luke Jackson more security in the role, the last few days have probably been a surprise. After 19 consecutive appearances in the ninth inning and or finishing the game, Jackson has come in the sixth inning in his last two games pitched. Manager Bruce Bochy has said that Jackson will now be used in different innings as the Rangers will play matchups with their struggling closer. The only recent save has gone to Robert Garcia. Garcia has been a save spec of the week for me in the written article before, and someone I've talked about as a potential closing option. In that save chance, Garcia was set up by Sean Armstrong, who himself had recorded a couple of saves while both Martin and Jackson were out. That was a few weeks ago. Right now, this really has a feeling of a committee situation. Luke Jackson may even still get an occasional ninth inning chance, but I would guess it is Robert Garcia and Sean Armstrong handling most of the save opportunities until Chris Martin is able to return. But after that, who knows? And the new wrinkle in this situation is a recent rumor that the Rangers were considering bringing Kumar Rocker back as the team's closer, with the thinking that his fastball-slider combo could be successful in high-leverage situations. And it probably could. But this is the type of rumor we've heard before, and it rarely comes true. But it certainly makes Rocker a lottery ticket type stash. Right now, though, the only Rangers reliever I'd really want to roster would be Robert Garcia. Otherwise, this is probably a highly fluid situation that we want to avoid for now. Well, let's take a trip down to Miami, where the three-headed Hydra of Calvin Farshay, Jesus Tinoco, and Anthony Bender, well, they just added a fourth head. Ronnie Enriquez grabbed a save on Sunday, and it came after Bender and Farshay had pitched earlier in that game. So this wasn't a scenario where the top bullpen arms weren't available and Enriquez vultured one. He was held for the ninth over two guys that have saved games for this team already. So in any bullpen, since the pitcher who recorded the last save is the most likely to get the next one, Ronnie Enriquez becomes the latest favorite in the Marlins bullpen. So let's see how he's fared this year. What are we looking at? The ERA is beautiful at 1.78. Strikeout rate, fantastic. It's over 30%. And the underlying metrics back up the high K rate, as Enriquez has shown elite contact against and high swinging strike rate. That's the good. The bad is all this comes with a walk rate around 12% and almost a double-digit barrel rate allowed. So all told, Enriquez has a profile that could be successful in the ninth inning for a time. That makes him a worthy addition, for sure. But the downside is you see a couple walk, three-run homer outings, and you know that moves us on to the next horse of the Miami carousel. So my advice would be tread carefully, but if you do need saves, Ronnie Enriquez has a chance to get them. But now to New York and the Yankees. Those wondering when David Williams would get his closer job back, they're slowly starting to ask, will Devin Williams get his closer job back? Now, I've maintained that while Luke Weaver is locking it down, that their roles won't change. It would take some cracks in the armor of Luke Weaver to give manager Aaron Boone the excuse to hand the ninth inning back to Williams. Now, if you squint, you know, maybe, just maybe, those cracks are starting to form. Luke Weaver allowed three hits and a home run in his last save. And then last night, he allowed a hit and walk while protecting a four-run lead. Weaver has no strikeouts in either of those last two games pitched. Now, it's nothing until it becomes something. But it may not take more than a blown save or two to open the door for Devin Williams again. Now, I'm still confidently starting Luke Weaver, but Devin Williams still is a viable hole. Now, we have another small news bite from the Angels bullpen. I've talked in the past about the return of Robert Stevenson, and it looks like he's on his way to LA. Well, actually, he's already there, and he could be activated as early as today. There are a lot of hurdles Robert Stevenson would have to clear, returning as an effective major league pitcher, obviously the most important of them all. But there's a chance he could end the season as the Angels closer if everything breaks right for him and Kenley Jansen is traded in July. Robert Stevenson, just a name to add to our watch lists. Now we'll end today let's go to Arizona, where Justin Martinez made his return to the Diamondbacks bullpen, coming back off the injured list. And it hasn't yet marked the end of Shelby Miller, as we may have thought would happen. Martinez's first game back was an eighth inning appearance. He allowed a couple of runs. He lost the lead. His second game he pitched last night, again in the eighth inning. He came on with some runners on base, putting out a fire, getting a hold. It still feels inevitable, I guess, that Martinez ascends to the ninth inning. But yeah, until that happens, Shelby Miller remains a startable option, and we should be holding on to him until we know Martinez is firmly back in that ninth inning. So we are done for today, another normal episode. Catch the pod again on Saturday. That will be the return of the weekly free agency preview. You've been listening to the Bullpen Report on the FTN Fantasy Baseball Podcast. I'm Dan Thompson. Let's close it out.